Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A word from the teacher, King Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the first verse. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do wrong. This is the word of God. Dear friends in Christ, have you ever been accused of bad motives? Maybe I should ask, when was the last time you were accused of doing something in bad motives or in bad faith? Christian writer C.S. Lewis talks about if a man at a train station trips you by accident, you don't get too upset by that. But if another man comes by and attempts to trip you and doesn't succeed, then that'll upset you. That'll get you angry. Why is that? The one person actually hurt you, but because it was an accident, you were okay with it. Meanwhile, the other person tried to hurt you, didn't succeed, and you were kind of perturbed by that. That was frustrating. That made you upset. That ruins your day. Because the same action can be either good or bad, can't it? There are things that we do, depending on where our heart is, that can be either good or they can be bad. Think about it. Tears of joy or tears of sadness. It depends on the heart. Love or lust. It depends on the heart. You think about violence or self-defense. It depends on the heart. If a doctor gives you a clean bill of health and says, yeah, you check out, you're doing just fine, that's going to make all of us happy. Most of us probably not going to make us that much happier because we have good reason to think that we're okay. But for someone who is maybe misdiagnosed with heart disease 5 minutes ago, and the doctor comes back and says, no, you're perfectly healthy, that's going to make that person 10 times happier, isn't it? 10 times more thankful. Because it depends on the heart. The same is true with going to the house of God to worship. Is it good? Can it be bad? Depends on the heart. Now, unless we're justified by Christ alone, saved by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by our substitute on the cross, and put our faith in the works of Jesus, not our own, we'll never enter God's house with right motives, will we? Because even when it comes to the path and pitfalls of public worship, it depends on the heart. This is God's house, and this is why we're here. Solomon leads us on the path to the house of God. You heard him. He said, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. In Solomon's time, the house of God was a magnificent temple designed by his father, King David, erected under the guidance and under the authority of King Solomon himself. Cedars from Lebanon, gold overlay, so many beautiful things at the temple of God really brought the tent of meeting to the next level. And day in and day out, the smoke almost never ceased to rise from this or that sacrifice. You could smell that kind of worship, and people were constantly bringing bulls and sheep for the offering. This or that burnt offering, guilt offering, sin offering. Now among the works and doings of human beings under the sun, there are a host of things that make us wise and keep us on the path to life. But it might also be evil. Might also be evil if we presume to go this or that way, doing the same deed. Two sinners might be doing the same thing. One of them is doing good, and the other one is doing evil. And the value of our outward works depends on the motives of the heart. Going to worship belongs to that class of outward works. Doesn't depend on your outward work. Going to worship, you can come, you can go through the motions, you can do all the right things, you can look good, you can be there, and yet whether that's a good work or not depends on what's in here. Solomon says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do wrong. Well, then how is a Christian supposed to go to church? Solomon says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. You're not a fair-weather Christian. Whether it's cold or warm, rainy or windy, sunny or dark, most of you will come here on a Sunday morning, no matter what. Then you wipe your feet as you enter the house of God because you don't want to get your mud, your dirt everywhere. But what about your heart? Do you examine your heart and wipe it clean of its guilt and its sin? Leave the thoughts of worldly work and business at home. Leave your thoughts of school and society and friends at home. The cares of riches, the pleasures of life in this life. At worship, those things can entangle your soul. They can thicken your ears. They can obstruct what affects your heart. Can foreclose your heart against the word. What Solomon actually means when he says, guard your footsteps, he explains by saying, draw near to listen. This is the chief and great object of coming to worship. Because if you thought you could come to church bringing something to enrich God or make him better, if you thought that your prayers were going to somehow achieve some kind of standard that God set for you, if you thought that your songs were going to make God stronger or bigger or better, you thought wrong. Because to draw near to listen is better than the sacrifice of fools. Jesus reminded his disciples of this all the time. He said, he who has ears, let him hear. He said, whoever is of God hears God's words. He says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And when Mary and Martha both welcomed the Lord, they were both doing a really good thing. Martha was serving the Lord. But Jesus said that Mary was doing the one thing needful, and that was to listen. So let each Christian say in the morning of worship, welcome. Welcome, day of glory. On this day, my Lord bled and died for me and rested in the tomb to pay for the wages of my sin. But behold, at early morning, he rose early and was triumphant for me. Even for me. He's brought life and immortality to light. And now today I lay aside earthly thoughts, worldly business. I hasten to the house of God and I will glorify his name. That's the true guarding of your footsteps. It's looking in here, a faithful frame of mind to attend church. Now it doesn't make sense that someone is truly pure because she goes to church. Nor does it make sense that she's doing good when she goes to church. If you see someone going to church and you say, well, that's a faithful and pure Christian, well, those are good thoughts because we want to see the best in people's actions, put the best construction on everything people do. And in Christian love, we assume the best, and we can't read hearts. We can't search the thoughts of human beings, like Jeremiah said this morning. Nevertheless, if you could read hearts, you would see that sinners go to church with the goal to gain social credit, to win respect, to draw customers, or even with the sheer point of they're in the habit of doing this. That's why they went to church. If you could read hearts, you'd see all those things. Are those right motives for going to church? In fact, they're evil motives because they leverage the church and make it a means to an end. The fact of the matter is, church going is good, but sinners know how to make it a sin. Sinners like you and I know how to change a good thing and make it evil. If you remember, the first temptation was not to murder. It was not to lie. It was not to cheat. The first temptation was to challenge the word of God. And the tempter's tactics haven't changed. So guarding your steps and going to hear, there's a lot of value in it. To hear the word of God, to listen to him, and trust in what he has to say. This is why we gather here. Because we're so good at turning a good thing bad, and we so desperately need to hear what God has to say. It's exactly why we're here. So many of the world around us, even ourselves, go to the house of worship to give what Solomon calls here the sacrifice of fools. What is the sacrifice of fools, and why do they bring it? The words themselves show it clearly. The sacrifice of fools is when they do not know that they do wrong. Okay, so the word sacrifice leads us back to that temple in the time of King Solomon, when Jews would come and they'd bring all these offerings. They'd bring sheep and bulls and birds and flour and wheat and wine. They'd bring all of these things for the true worship. Those were all shadows. Shadows pointing ahead to the one great sacrifice who would be put to death once for all for their sin and for the sin of all eternity. And the priests were supposed to instruct them about that one great sacrifice, to say these things are all pointing ahead to the one who is to come. So when John the Baptist looks at Jesus, points at him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," culturally, no one would take him literally, would think he's saying Jesus is literally a lamb, a quadruped with fleece, because they were so familiar with these sacrifices day in and day out, and the priests were instructing them, and should have been instructing them, they should have been listening, that this was going to be the Lamb of Lambs, the quintessential sacrifice for all. Sadly, a lot of the people didn't pay any attention to that promise of the one great sacrifice to come, and they hung their hopes on the sheep and the bulls that they offered. Of course, it's silly to think that a sheep or a bull is nothing like a human being, nothing like you and I who brought sin into the world. It's certainly not the kind of flesh that the Son of God would have to assume, take on, in order to save us. Nor was there anything divine in the sheep or the bulls that would make them special, that would cover over the sin of all. And it was doing wrong to bring a sacrifice with that wrong motive. It was evil. Because it belittles the grace of God. God says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams." God really gets at the heart and at the motives. This is true throughout all of Scripture. So as New Testament believers, if you come with the intention to seek and to earn God's attention and God's favor, if that's why you've come to church, it's wrong. It's unbelief. God commanded us to worship him. Yes, I'm not saying it's wrong to come to the house of God and to commune. We do this often. And yet, if we fulfilled all of God's commands, we would nevertheless have to confess that we're still unprofitable servants who have only done our duty, let alone enough to cover over for our sin, let alone achieve perfection in the way that only one has. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who in his word promises so many things for us to hear and to take to heart, who urges us to come with a right heart and pure motives. And when we don't, to come and receive that right heart. When we sing, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit, God answers that prayer. He has forgiven your wrong motives for coming today. That sin, it's gone. Trust, that's what the one great sacrifice does. Who said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The whole book of Ecclesiastes seems to be Solomon's writing at the end of his life. You've got Song of Songs and Proverbs earlier on, but Ecclesiastes is Solomon giving us a treatise on the true path to eternal life. And this book teaches that the fool sets his heart on things that vanish, but the wise man sets his heart on things that last, things that are eternal. Things that stand forever. So Solomon concludes his entire book with these words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Just think about your whole life. Your whole life is a preparation, a staging for the life to come. Setting things up, click things in places for your eternal life insurance, for your eternal security, that your soul one day, when faced with death, faces it with confidence, with faith, with trust in God's word, that he will carry a good work to completion, even when you and I have no option, no possibility, no way to do it of ourselves. Again, because of sin. And here's Solomon teaching us the right and true philosophy of human life. So it might be hard to stand in judgment of good actions. It might be hard to criticize something that outwardly looks really good. But we just heard Solomon say God will bring every work into judgment. And when he does this, he will never find any work 100% pure and sin-free. Hate to break it to you, but even our sanctified works, even our good actions that we've done flowing freely out of faith, thanking God for loving us first, so we love him, that's why. Because he died on the cross for us and he loved us enough to save us into eternity. Even those good works are marred to a degree by our own sin. Nothing is perfect. And you apply it to life. Some of you, for a living, you perform a service. Why do you do that? Do you do that to make someone happy? Yeah. Do you do it because this free exchange of goods also serves you? You get something out of it? You support your family? Yes. Is that focused on the cross of Christ? Maybe. Is comforting a friend? Is that really for the sake of comforting that friend? Is that really 100% selfless? Yeah. Or is it also knowing that you, reminding yourself and proving to yourself that you can be there for that friend? And so there's actually a little bit of self-interest there. Yes. Is this focused and centered on the cross of Christ? Maybe. Is singing a solo at church purely for glorifying God, done to edify the worshipers? Yes. Is there also a little bit of maybe want people to see me sing in church? Yes. Is this focused on the cross of Christ? Maybe. Because it depends on the heart. The Bible tells us whatever is not of faith is sin. And Paul also tells Timothy, to the pure all things are pure. But Both our sins need forgiving and our blessed actions need blessing. And not even our motives, no, not even our own motives can forgive our own sins and bless our actions. All of this must be sourced in the cross of Christ. And so should those who do evil stay away from worship? If evildoers couldn't be churchgoers, we should have all stayed home today. But instead, this is why we are here. So God can forgive our wrong actions, take them away, so we can hear that forgiveness. And with that information and the reformation of our hearts in that gospel message, guard our steps. So unclog your ears to the triune God who made you his own in his name, in baptism. Come, taste and eat up the good bread and drink the wine, because this is the kind of eating that actually takes off pounds of guilt, because that's what Jesus has given his true body and true blood for, to relieve you. Pay attention and learn from your God. This is just why we gather here. An action done by God is never bad, even though our actions are always tainted with sin. And God has chosen to forgive your sin. He's chosen to forgive you into eternity, and he's chosen to make you his own. Hear this, trust this, and know that because of Jesus, your works are good in God's sight. Because the Lord loves those and does good for those who love him. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.